From Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by Srila Prabhupada. In the introduction to Prabhupada's Gita as it is, Prabhupada quotes Sripad Shankaracharya's glorification of the Gita. Shankara, of course, is none other than the topmost Vaishnav, Lord Shiva, on a special mission to get people back into the Vedas. But it's too much of a leap to go from voidism to personalism, so he preached impersonal Veda. But he's actually the topmost Vaishnav. How resolute in purpose he had to be to do that austerity. And that's the theme of tonight's verse, Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, text 41. The last glorification was Eko Shastra Deva Ki Putra Devo Eko Deva Deva Ki Putra Eva Eko Mantrastasya Namaniyani Karma Pyekam Tasya Devasya Seva. Let there be one common scripture for the whole world, Bhagavad Gita. One God for the whole world, Lord Sri Krishna. One hymn for the whole world, the Hare Krishna mantra. And one occupation for everyone, the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're going to do a verse tonight that's very special for the history of the Hare Krishna movement. Chapter 2, text 41. Let's do it responsibly. Vyavasayatmika buddhir Ekeha kurunandana Bahushakaya nantascha Buddhayo vyavasayana Vyavasayatmika buddhir Ekeha kurunandana Bahushakaya nantascha Buddhayo vyavasayanam Vyavasayatmika buddhir Ekeha kurunandana Bahushakaya nantascha Buddhayo vyavasayana Bolo.
Thank you.
Vaishnavis? For word, Vyavasaya Atmika. Resolute in Krishna consciousness. Buddhihi. Intelligence. Eka. Only one. Iha. In this world. Kurunandana. O beloved child of the Kurus. Bahushaka, having various branches, he indeed, Anantaha, unlimited, cha, also, Buddhayaha, intelligence, of Vyavasayana, of those who are not in Krishna consciousness. Translation, those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. Please repeat, those who are on this path, are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. Srila Prabhupada's purport. A strong faith that by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life is called Vyavasayatmika intelligence. The Chaitanya Chaitamrita Madhya 2262 states, Shraddha Shabde Vishvaskahi Sudhrida Nishchoy Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. Faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. When one is engaged in the duties of Krishna consciousness, he need not act in relationship to the material world, with obligations to family traditions, humanity, or nationality. Fruitive activities are the engagements of one's reactions from past good or bad deeds. When one is awake in Krishna consciousness, he need no longer endeavor for good results in his activities. Listen to how many times Prabhupada uses the phrase Krishna consciousness. He says this practically every line. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness, all activities are on the absolute plane, for they are no longer subject to dualities like good and bad. The highest perfection of Krishna consciousness is renunciation of the material conception of life. This state is automatically achieved by progressive Krishna consciousness. The resolute purpose of a person in Krishna consciousness is based on knowledge. Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. A person in Krishna consciousness is the rare good soul who knows perfectly that Vasudeva, or Krishna, is the root of all manifested causes. As by watering the root of a tree, one automatically distributes water to the leaves and branches, So by acting in Krishna consciousness, one can render the highest service to everyone, namely self, family, society, country, humanity, etc. If Krishna is satisfied by one's actions, then everyone will be satisfied. Service in Krishna consciousness is, however, best practiced under the able guidance of a spiritual master, who is a bona fide representative of Krishna, who knows the nature of the student, and who can guide him to act in Krishna consciousness. As such, to be well versed in Krishna consciousness, one has to act firmly and obey the representative of Krishna, and one should accept the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master as one's mission in life. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur instructs us in his famous prayers for the spiritual master as follows. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadat nagati kutopi, jayam stuvam tasya yashastri sandhyam vande guru sri charanaravindam, vande guru sri charanaravindam. Quote, by satisfaction of the spiritual master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes satisfied. And by not satisfying the spiritual master, there is no chance of being promoted to the plane of Krishna consciousness. I should therefore meditate and pray for his mercy three times a day and offer my respectful obeisances unto him, my spiritual master. Close quote. The whole process, however, depends on perfect knowledge of the soul beyond the conception of the body, not theoretically, but practically, when there is no longer a chance for sense gratification manifested in fruitive activities. One who is not firmly fixed in mind is diverted by various types of fruitive acts. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master is opening my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Yes, this verse and purport, they have a lot of meaning for us in Prabhupada's ISKCON Sangha, because Srila Prabhupada himself pointed out to us that in his own life, in his own journey to resolute determination to execute the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and finally his Guru Maharaj, this verse, as commented on by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, really hit him, as we say, like a shot. He already had a seed of the mission when he first met his Guru Maharaj, excuse me, in 1922, before he and Narendranath Mulak had even risen from obeisances. Srila Saraswati Thakur said what he was saying to all educated-looking young Indian men: "You all look like educated young men. Why don't you preach Krishna consciousness in English all over the world?" Before they'd even risen from obeisances. That was the seed. Prabhupada was skeptical. He didn't want to go to the meeting. He felt obliged to challenge the Thakur. And he told us later, "I was very happy to be defeated by my Guru Maharaj." And Naren said on the way out, "What did you think of Bhai?" "Oh, he's wonderful. I can see Lord Chaitanya's movement is in very capable hands. He can give the real religious idea. Such a nice, saintly person I have met." But circumstantially, he couldn't contribute full-time to the mission. He was already married. He had a son. And the next year, 1923, he moved his family lock and stock to Allahabad to open up his own pharmacy. But one fine day in 1928, some Gaudiya Math sannyasis walked into that pharmacy and they said, "Oh, you're Abhay Babu. We hear you are a very nice Vaishnav." Because Prabhupada, since that first meeting, had been reading Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's books. And he thought fondly of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and the mission. So they said, "Well, we would like to open up a chapter of the Gaudiya Math in Allahabad. Will you help us?" So Prabhupada said, "Oh, these people, I know these people. They've come. Yes, I must help them." So we helped them open the Allahabad chapter of the Gaudiya Math. And then in 1932, Prabhupada was more involved. He was on Braj Mandal Parikrama. And when the Parikrama stopped in Kosi, on the last night that Saraswati Thakur was going to be with the Yatris, His Holiness Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj said, "So Guru Maharaj is saying this is the last night that he's going to be with us on the Parikrama. So he's giving us a choice. We can either go see the Sheshashayi Vishnu deity nearby, this big spectacular Vishnu deity. You might have seen if you've gone to South India too, they have many. Or we can stay and hear Guru Maharaj speak." So Prabhupada told us later, he said, "So I was thinking, what will I see at this Sheshashayi? Let me hear Guru Maharaj." He was speaking, of course, in a very high philosophical way. I could understand him, I could not understand him sometimes, but I just wanted to hear him. I loved to hear him speak, and because I was serious about hearing, now I'm serious about speaking. So the Thakur noted that this Abhay Babu, Abhay Charande, he didn't go away, he liked to hear. So the next year in 33, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta visited the Allahabad Gaudiya Math, someone recommended the person who would become our Prabhupada for initiation. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, "Yes, I will accept him as my disciple. I have marked him. He likes to hear. He does not go away." So Abhay Charande became Abhay Charanaravindo Das, 1933. And then a couple of years later, Prabhupada is more involved. Now it's 1935 now. And it's getting toward the end of Saraswati Thakur's manifest Leela. So that was quite a year for Prabhupada in developing the seed of his mission, of his resolute Krishna consciousness. Three major blessings were given that year, two of them very sweet and one very heavy. So the sweet one was that on the occasion of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's Vyasa Puja Day in February, Prabhupada was selected by the members of the Bombay Gaudiya Math to give the Vyasa Puja address, which Prabhupada gave in English, because that was the rising star of languages in the world, which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta encouraged all his educated preachers to speak in English. So Prabhupada gave the address in Mumbai, in Bombay, in English. But then he wrote that famous poem, which we know of. "Adore, adore ye that holy day, blessed than heaven, sweeter than May, when he appeared in Puri, that holy place, my Lord and Master, his divine grace." And then the stanza that really caught the Thakur's ear: "Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity, thou hast moved." And then 34 years later, when Gurudas found the poem in the British Museum and brought it to Prabhupada as they were launching the London Yatra, Prabhupada said, "Oh, I thought this was lost. You found this poem." And Prabhupada read the whole poem. And then when he came to that stanza, the absolute dissension stanza, he changed the word. He edited his poem. Moved became removed, because 34 years on, 1935 to 1969, his English was developing. So he realized that le mot juste, you know, the exact word, the right word to use there, was removed. So we changed move to remove. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was showing that poem, especially to his guests, and he was saying, "Just see how my disciple has captured my mind, has captured my mission. He knows my heart." And then he told the editor of the Harmonist magazine, the Gaudiya Math English publication, "Whatever he writes, print it. Huge blessing. Huge sweet blessing. Whatever he writes, print it." Immediately, everybody knew, wow, This is a very confidential disciple of Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj wants everyone to know what Abhai Babu is thinking and writing. So that was February, and then Prabhupada's Resolute Krishna Consciousness got another boost in July of that year, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was visiting the Bombay Gaudiya Math, which Prabhupada, again, had helped them organize that, because he was still had his pharmacy in Prayag and Allahabad, but he was doing a lot of business in Bombay. And so he helped Bhakti Saranga Maharaj launch the Bombay Gaudiya Math. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta visited that Gaudiya Math. And he said, this is very nice, very clean, lots of preaching, lots of guests, first-class prasadam, there's the books, lots of publishing going on, distribution. Very nice. So Bhakti Saranga Maharaj said, actually, it is all due to the work of Abhai Babu, Abhai Charanaravinda. He really helped us a lot financially from his business, and he's expert Vedanga player, he's expert preacher, and he should be the president. He should be the president of the Bombay Gaudiya Math. And so Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, no, it's better he's living outside your company. He will do. He will do everything in time. He will do everything himself. You don't have to recommend him. So that blessing was like a prophecy. It came true later. Because think about it, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he's approaching now the end of his manifest lila. And he can see what's coming. And he can see in the person of his disciple, Abhai Charanaravinda, somebody who can take that Gaura Shakti that's come through the parampara, through his illustrious father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, through Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and his very receptive disciple is getting it from him, and he sees someone in the person of Prabhupada that can actually continue the line, even as he's becoming disappointed by what's happening to his mission. So that was 35, and then also toward the end of 35, there was a very grave blessing when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, again on Braj Mandal Parikrama, took his householder disciple aside as they were on Parikrama at Radhakund amidst so many sannyasis, and he takes aside his householder disciple, Abhai Charanaravinda Das, and he says, we were so happy at Altadanga Junction, that simple temple where Prabhupada met him. And now that this Jagabandhu, our benefactor, has donated this marble palace in Bagh Bazar Junction, now my leading men, they're fighting over who's going to have the nicest rooms. They're losing the preaching spirit. These men are simply after the stones and bricks. So Prabhupada said, Guru Maharaj was disappointed. So he left early. He left the next year. That was 35. And so Bhaktisiddhanta said to our Prabhupada, he said, if you ever get money, you print books. So that went very deep when he heard that at Radhakund from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Then 1936, the resolute Krishna consciousness, the resolute determination to do the mission, received yet another boost when Prabhupada wrote his Guru Maharaj from Bombay, where he was doing business, to Puri, where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had appeared, and now he was preparing to pass away. Prabhupada, in classic understatement, says Guru Maharaj was little indisposed. So 8th, 9th December, Prabhupada said, I wrote him a letter, and I wanted to know if there's something more I can do. I'm giving money, sometimes I help in this way and that way, but he wanted something specific, some mission. And so right away, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta wrote him back, as Prabhupada said on the recording, my dear such and such, I have every confidence that you can explain our message in English to the people of the foreign countries, the Western world. You can turn yourself into a very good English preacher. This will be good for you, and it'll be good for the whole world. So immediately Prabhupada recognized in this order what he'd heard at the first meeting. It was a confirmation. It was a full circle confirmation of the request he had heard right in 1922. But now Srila Bhaktisiddhanta saw of what his disciple was capable of understanding and transmitting. So 2 weeks later, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta unfortunately passed away. And then Prabhupada said later on, while the Gaudiya Math was going through its traumas after the disappearance of their founder Acharya, Prabhupada said he was reading a commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on tonight's verse. And this is what Prabhupada said. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has explained in his comments on Bhagavad Gita in connection with the verse, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Ekeha Kurunandana. Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Nishchayatmika Buddhi. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that, quote, whatever order I get from my spiritual master, that is my life and soul. I must execute it thoroughly, without caring for my personal convenience or inconvenience. That is called Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. Prabhupada, he also said on the recording, I realize I would actually have to do this. This is not simply some idle words. I'm going to have to do this. And that missionary spirit, if you know the history, just kept rising and rising and rising until Krishna finally sent him. Let's take a look at actually what the commentary says that Prabhupada read. This is the translation in English. Vishwanath says, in connection with this verse, of all kinds of intelligence, the best is intelligence focused on bhakti yoga. In bhakti yoga, one's intelligence becomes single-pointed or fixed in determination. One thinks, quote, the instructions of my spiritual master to worship the personality of Godhead by chanting, remembering, serving his feet, and so on, are my only sadhana, my only sadhya. Sadhana is practice, sadhya is the goal. My only livelihood. I am incapable of giving up these instructions, either in the stage of practice or in the stage of perfection. They alone are my object of desire and my only responsibility. Besides them, I can desire no other responsibility, not even in my dreams. It is all the same to me whether I feel happy or unhappy, or whether my material existence is eradicated or not. So then we always want to bring it home to us, right? So how do we develop that resolute Krishna consciousness? How do we find our mission in the mission? How do we get that determination to do something wonderful for Srila Prabhupada and our Shiksha Diksha Gurus and all the Vaishnavas? I was looking at a passage, a section in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam where you know, Dhruva Leela, where Dhruva Maharaj, he's a very precocious 5-year-old boy, and he's been insulted by his stepmother, Saruchi. And because he's a heavy-duty, thoroughbred, born and evincing the qualities of a real Kshatriya, he's not going to take that insult. He's not going to let it pass. So he goes to his mother, Suniti, and says, Mata, please help me. Saruchi's insulted me, and I can't tolerate this. He's crying, and he's furious. And so Suniti says, well, Dhruva, in one sense, Saruchi's right. I'm not the favored queen. She said, you can't sit on the lap of the king unless you take birth from her womb. Well, she is the favored queen. I really can't help you in that respect, but I know who can help you. Only God can help you. Only God can help you. And the sages say that they find God in the forest. So maybe you have to go seek God, because I can't help you. So Dhruva, being the precocious 5-year-old he was, he went straight to the forest. And right on the spot, there's Johnny on the spot, as we say in America, Narada Muni appears. Oh, Dhruva! What are you here for? So Dhruva tells him his story, how he's been insulted and he wants a kingdom now. I want a kingdom greater than my father, Maharaj Uttanapad. greater than my grandfather, Svayambhuva Manu, greater than my great-grandfather, Brahma himself. So Narada's a little amused by this five-year-old. And he's thinking, he gives him some nice instructions fit for a brahminical type person. And here's one of the instructions. One should try to keep himself satisfied in any condition of life, whether distress or happiness, which is offered by the supreme will. A person who endures in this way is able to cross over the darkness of nescience very easily. And then he went on with a few more instructions that are suitable for someone who has a cool head and who's gentle and who's more of a brahminical nature. So that was 4833 and 4836. Here's how Dhruva responds to his putative, his would-be Guru Maharaj. My dear Lord, I am very impudent for not accepting your instructions, but this is not my fault. It is due to my having been born in a Kshatriya family. Therefore, your valuable instruction does not stand in my heart. Don't forget, this is Satya Yuga, when there's pure lines of Brahman, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas. There's no need for Varnashram college because it's just passed on from generation to generation. So when one takes birth in a particular family, there's every chance, because of the culture of samskaras, dashabhidha samskar, 10 kinds of purifying rites of passage, that that person will grow up to evince the qualities that he's been born into, the family he's been born into. So sure enough, right from birth, Dhruva's manifesting the qualities of a real heavy kshatriya. So he's saying, this is very nice instructions for a nice, gentle, well-behaved Brahmin boy. Guess what? I'm not a Brahmin. I'm a Kshatriya. As we would say nowadays, bring it on, right? So, now, in his purport to 4836, Prabhupada makes some very interesting remarks about Dhruva's nature and just nature in general. And the duty of a would-be mentor and to know the nature of his charge of his disciple. Prabhupada writes, Dhruva Maharaj indirectly informed the great sage Narada that there are four kinds of human spirit. Prabhupada, of course, is referring to the gunas, but here in this purport he says four kinds of human spirit. The brahminical spirit, what motivates a Brahmin anyway? Brahmin likes knowledge. He wants to know, right? Brahminical people want to know. What motivates a Kshatriya?
Power.
What motivates a Vaishya? Profit, right? What motivates Shudra? Sense gratification. Four kinds of spirits, Prabhupada says. The Brahminical spirit, the Kshatriya spirit, the Vaishya spirit, and the Shudra spirit. The spirit of one caste. He means how we're typecast by the gunas, right? Not by birth, not that corrupted caste system that we know in Kali Yuga, but the real guna karma system. The spirit of one caste is not applicable to the members of another. The philosophical spirit enunciated by Narada Muni might have been suitable for a Brahmana spirit, but it was not suitable for a Kshatriya. Dhruva frankly admitted that he was lacking in Brahminical humility, and was therefore unable to accept the philosophy of Narada Muni. And then listen to this. This is Prabhupada's, he's giving us a hint of how to train children. Unless a child is trained according to his tendency, there is no possibility of his developing his particular spirit. It was the duty of the spiritual master or teacher to observe the psychological movement of a particular boy, and thus train him in a particular occupational duty. Okay, so you see the key role that parents, teachers, spiritual masters play in developing our contribution to life. And that's always evolving, that's always developing. In that connection, in 1975, Prabhupada was down in Miami. Panchagota Prabhu, were you there February 75 when Prabhupada? No? Okay. 75, Prabhupada came February up from Caracas, and he gave two lectures on nature, the enjoyer, and consciousness underneath the banyan tree in the backyard of New Naimisharanya. And at one point, he was talking about the guru-disciple relationship, and he said this, quote, "Therefore, nobody should accept blindly any guru, and nobody should blindly accept any disciple. They must behave one another." Prabhupada means to say examine, test, check out, vet. They must behave one another, at least for 1 year. This is the instruction of Sanatan Goswami in his Hari Bhakti Vilas. So it's interesting that Narada Muni at first gave Dhruva one kind of instruction, and then Dhruva had to help him out in a sense. He had to apprise him of the fact that he was of the Kshatriya spirit. And then Narada saw that he had a real precocious five-year-old on his hand. So he gave him the full process right there, you know, the real Ashtanga process. And within 6 months, as we know, Dhruva had, it takes 10,000 years to perfect. In 6 months, Dhruva was executing it with such intensity, the devas had to come and say, "Will you please see what this child wants? We can't breathe. He's disturbing the life air all over the universe." And in the purport of that verse, Prabhupada talks about what a pure devotee can do, how the pure devotee, by being linked up to Krishna, can change the course of history, can affect the world. So, and then of course, as we know, Dhruva got darshan of Lord Prishnigarbha within 6 months, and then because he saw the Lord, he famously said, as recorded in the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, "Svamin kritartosmi varangmiyache, oh my Lord, I was looking, all these desires I had for a kingdom, they're just like broken pieces of glass. Now I found in you a rare gem." Like that. But Narada Muni, he had to learn more about this Dhruva before he gave him the appropriate instruction. So similarly, to come to resolute Krishna consciousness, we need help. We are a mixed bag of tricks in Kali Yuga, in case you haven't noticed, your mixed tendencies toward action. Especially in Kali Yuga, we are really mixed, because the culture of Dashabhita Samskar, 10 kinds of purifying rites of passage, are not generally practiced. So we tend to be a really mixed up bunch. Varna Sankar, actually. So to help the people that we admire help us understand how to make our best contribution to Prabhupada's movement, we need to be introspective. We need to be thoughtful. As Prabhupada writes in, this is a one-liner from his purport to Bhagavatam 4:24-59. "A devotee is as thoughtful as a non-devotee is introspective." Excuse me, a devotee is as thoughtful, yes, a non-devotee is speculative. In both cases, the mind is engaged, but for a devotee, the mind is engaged in terms of the Shastra, the Guru, the Sadhus. That's the devotee's compass, their instructions. Whereas, you know, before we're devotees, we just let our mind go all over the universe. So a devotee is as thoughtful as a non-devotee is speculative. I'd like to leave you with maybe some questions that if you haven't thought about them in a while, you can think about. This is in the mood of what would it be like if I were in Maharaj's Parikshit's, you know, position, 7 days to live. What five things do I care about most? What five things do I care about most? And then try to prioritize them. That's a challenge. Just think from first thoughts. Just write them down, first thoughts. Don't think about it too much. And then think about it. If I had all the money I needed, what would I do? Sometimes we, you know, "Oh, I'd like to do that, but I don't have the money." And then here's the next one. If I knew I had 6 months to live, what would I do? Doing which service do I most forget time? Most forget time. We all have our trance of work, of the activity. Besides eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, we're all very good at that, spontaneously in the material world, but doing which service do I most forget time? It's a hint of a direction to go to perfect our contribution to the mission. If I knew Krishna would help me succeed, What service would I dare to do? So, that's the verse, that's the theme, Resolute Krishna Consciousness. I just wanted to share, you know, Prabhupada's own journey a little bit to becoming even more resolute, perfect, more perfect, most perfect, and to help us think about how we can perfect our Resolute Krishna Consciousness. And now it's already late, but if you want, you can ask a question or make a comment. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I think prasadam is winning. The question is, what's for prasadam?
Prabhu.
Yes, Vilananda Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Suresh Prabhu. I got distracted here and I missed one point that you said, if you could kindly repeat. In 1935, two or three auspicious things happened to Prabhupada.
Yes.
And one was more challenging. What was that one that was more challenging?
Okay, there were two sweet blessings and one grave blessing, as much as I know. The sweet ones were whatever he writes, Pranit, as a response to the poem he wrote. You don't have to recommend him. He's better, he's living outside your company. He will do everything. He will do everything himself. You don't have to recommend it. In time, he will do everything himself. And then the grave blessing was, if you ever get money, print books. Therefore, Prabhupada would say, therefore I'm stressing so much on this book. You know, print books, distributed books. You've heard of the marathon, 17 books in 2 months, the BBT did. Practically, I'm whipping you, Prabhupada would say, I'm whipping you, distribute books. Yeah, he was it's a very much an educational sangha, educational mission.
And then on the meeting at Radhakunda, on the Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, Bhaktivikar Swami said that that is an error in the Lilamrita, that the meeting was not at the Radhakunda.
Oh, okay.
He says, this incident is related in more detail in How Shall I Serve You, Chapter 4 of the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. The statement therein that it took place on the bank of the Radhakunda is an error.
Okay.
And then he says where it took place, and some other people were there and they confirmed it. Let me see if I find it.
Yes, Bhakti Vikash Maharaj has kindly made a list of historical errors, although we have to stand on the strength of Srila Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada, who says if you have the rasa intact, correct, and if you have the philosophy intact, the history is secondary. But anyway, it's nice to get things historically accurate too.
Yeah, it says here, Sri Abhay Chalanaravinda, just a second, in his room at the Kunja Bihari Mata in Radhakunda. So it was not at the bank of the Radhakunda,
okay.
It was in Radhakunda.
In Radhakunda.
And Prabhupada says in a lecture, was in Radhakunda, but was at the Kunja Bihari Mata in Radhakunda. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati instructed Sri Abhay Chalanaravinda Das, if you ever get money, print books. Also present were Sri Anantavasudeva Das, shown here fanning, there is a painting, shown here fanning Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and a son of Sri Abhay Chalanaravinda Das.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was Mathura Mohan, his son. Thank you for that historical improvement. Anything else about becoming resolute in Krishna consciousness, finding our mission in the mission? What am I going to be when I grow up in Krishna consciousness? Yes, Mataji.
Will you restate the last of the 5 questions that you presented to everyone?
Okay, let's see. By the way, these are adaptations from you. This is kind of a popular thing going around. It's the passion test. Have you heard of this? It's like Swadharma. Svadharmam apichaviksha navikampitam arhasi. Krishna tells Arjuna, 231. Considering your specific duty as a kshatriya, after he's given gyan and told him he's not his body, now he's appealing to Arjuna from the bodily platform. From all angles of vision, Krishna is saying, look, it's a win-win here. Just do your duty and fight. So the last question is, if I knew Krishna would help me succeed, what service would I dare to do? All right, Arjuna Prabhu, you got the mic?
You said we need guidance. You said we need guidance to find our tendency, our inclination, by a spiritual master, but it seems that a lot of onus is also on us to actually figure out where am I situated, what will I like. I think that's why you presented those five questions for us to figure out.
It's both. It's both, and the first thing we need to do is learn how to think, feel, and behave like a pure soul, like a Vaishnav. That's why for everybody there should be basic training. But then, that's why Prabhupada said we should have Varnashram colleges, because that's where you focus. You start to find your mission in the mission. So it's both. We need good health, and we need to be thoughtful so we can help our mentors, the people we admire, the people we write and speak to and say, if I could only see Maharaj, if I could, all right, then what are you going to say? You gotta be a little thoughtful and honest with yourself to give him some factual information to help him engage you. And that's one of the big roles of the spiritual master, Shiksha or Diksha, is to know how to appropriately engage the disciple. Yeah, it's both. We have to be thoughtful, and we have to also let people who are more advanced than the Bhakti Marg help us understand how to use that energy to make our best contribution. Okay, Rohini Prabhu.
So there was a... Hare Krishna. So in the pure devotional stage, we can, Prabhupada used to say many times, even for ordinary devotees, do the needful. We're in the bhakti zone, we're following the guru's instruction, disregarding occupational duty, even one's own personal nature. But those not so engaged or advanced, they have to respect the occupational duties, etc., and one's psychophysical nature.
Yeah, it's a journey. That's why in Prabhupada's Stay With Us, he applied Varnashram in three different ways to ISKCON over three different phases of time. For the first 7 years, from 66 to 73, was forget it. Just chant Hare Krishna. Have festivals, distribute books. You can't do Varnashram. And then in 74, he dropped a bomb. Srila Prabhupada dropped a bomb. He did an about face. We must have Varnashram in ISKCON. Now, we're devotees, he was saying. It's not that we need it. Ha ha ha. Later on, he said we did need it. It's not that we need it, but we need it to organize ourselves better so people will take, so they'll be able to understand what we're saying in these books. They can't understand us now. You know, we're too alien to the people. But when we show something, even if we look different, and when we show something, when we show a better way to live, then maybe they'll start reading the books, taking us seriously. And then by the end of his stay with us, it was, you need it. It's not so easy to become a Vaishnava. If to become a Vaishnava is so easy, then why so many fall down, Prabhupada said, February 77. To become a Vaishnava is not so easy. Therefore, Prabhupada is extending the mercy of Mahaprabhu, who personally dismissed Varnashram, because he was interested in Mahabhav. Iho bahya, Ramananda Roy, iho bahya, this is external, you must go higher. Prabhupada said, yes, Mahaprabhu is nothing of this world. You mean you're chanting like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? You're chanting like that? You can't even chant 16 rounds, Prabhupada said, properly. You can't follow the four regulated principles properly. We need to pave the way now. We still haven't paved the way. It's still a rough road. We need to pave the way. So, yeah, that's the great unfulfilled phase of the mission. That's another seminar. Or another 108 seminars. We need a way to get from here to there. Otherwise, we will be flashes in the pan. That's what Prabhupada was seeing. It was becoming a revolving door. We need to stay. We need to stick. So that bridge, that stepping stone, Prabhupada said Varnashram is man's stepping stone for spiritual understanding. That starts from where we are in the material world, and then gradually, as we do our duties according to guna karma, and we continue intensely to hear about Krishna, that's the key. We go from serving in the mood of full of material desires to giving up those desires to coming to the other side of the bridge where we're just whatever you want, Krishna. And he may or may not change externally our duty. He did not in Arjuna's case. He didn't say, you know, do something. He said, just do your duty as a Kshatriya, but do it for me. You're bewildered because you're making yourself the center of the calculation. You're thinking of your relatives. You're thinking of everything from a bodily relation. But see it through my eyes. And it's the best thing for everyone, including Bhishma and Drona, your beloved gurus. So yes, that's ultimately what we have to come to. You know, just doing everything for Krishna. That's a journey. That's not presto changeo. You know, that's a whole life's work. And Prabhupada made it very clear, and that's why he wanted us to follow not classic Vedic, not dormant, and not materialistic Varnashram. Those are the three Varnashrams he was not interested in. He wanted us to follow Daiva Varnashram Dharma as he adapted it for the Kali Yuga. That's another 108 seminars. It's time for prasad. Let's get down to business here, right? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.